Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have another great guest. I'm anxious to talk with her. It's going to be kind of a really neat topic, and I think it's a topic that everybody needs to kind of hear a little bit about and start to believe in. So her name is Pat Hastings. So, Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy.
Now, Pat, what I usually do is I let the guests talk a little bit about who they are because I don't want to miss out on anything. And then when we're done, we're going to talk a lot about you. We're going to talk about your book. We're going to go into, like, details with your book so people know all about you, okay?
Okay.
So go ahead.
Well, I'm Pat Hastings, and traditionally I am a psychotherapist. I work with alcoholic and drug addicts. About 7 years ago, I wrote my first book, Simply a Woman of Faith. And about 3 months ago, I left my job to go full-time promoting my book. I'm also a spiritual coach and an ordained minister. So that's my background. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm having a ball. I'm really enjoying myself.
It's better to have a ball with what you decide to do, Pat, rather than stay in something that just is not going to work with your energy. Is that true?
Right. Well, I loved what I was doing. I did that as a psychotherapist for 20 years, working with alcoholic and drug addicts, and I really enjoyed what I did. I loved it. But it was time to end that and time to, you know, move into a whole new arena. And I'm doing a lot of speaking, inspirational speaking, and I love it.
Good. Now, I'm going to ask you a little bit about your part of growing up, because and you can answer or you don't have to, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a question, because when you talk about working with the alcoholics and stuff, a lot of times when people want to work with people like that, it has a lot to do with some of the things that they went through as a child.
Yes.
So can you maybe talk a little bit about that as to why, you know, that draw for, like, working with the alcoholics and, you know, that type was
right.
a draw for you?
Right. Well, I think that my childhood, growing up in an alcoholic home, prepared me for the work as a psychotherapist. That certainly wasn't my plan, but I knew that I wanted to be a therapist, and I went back to school at age 40, and then I wanted to get into that field. There's a compassion and a love that I have for the alcoholic and drug addicts because I grew up in that home. Although I didn't become an alcoholic myself, all the behaviors of growing up in that home, all the rules that I learned growing up in that home, don't talk, don't feel, and don't trust, was in my life as an adult. And I started to go to my own meetings, my own 12-step meetings to help me recover, and that enabled me to help others. People often would say to me when I would tell them, you know, what I did as a profession, and they would say, oh, that must be so hard. And I would always say, no. People, the alcoholic and drug addicts, just really trusted me because I guess they knew that I really loved them and I really cared about them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that a lot of the people who get caught up, whether it's alcoholism or with the drug scene, usually are trying to hide something or be numb or
yes.
don't? Okay.
Definitely.
Because when I do my counseling, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and that's one of the things I find,
mm-hmm.
is that they don't, you know, they want to be numb. They don't want to feel, you
right.
know, and most of the time it stems back to when they were a child or things that they had to go through.
Right.
And I think it's real important that they let go of what that is, you know, once they can. But, you know, I find that not everybody wants to really let go of it.
Right, and I know for myself, I didn't go into my own therapy till I was 38. So I covered up the pain that I experienced as a child, not with drugs and alcohol, but mine was being busy. So kind of a workaholism. I was very busy. I had lots of friends. I was very popular, and it was a way for me to medicate my feelings. So whatever the drug is, it can be alcohol, drugs, it can be work, and it can be gambling, it can be control, whatever it is, it's to medicate the feelings, and so many of us have some kind of an addiction to medicate our feelings.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, I think it's real important that people understand that they're not alone with what they're going through, that many people are going through it or have gone through it who are really out there willing to help them.
Right.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your book. It's called Simply a Woman of Faith, and it says how to live in spiritual power and transform your life. So what made you write a book like this?
I knew 25 years ago that I was going to write a book, and the reason I knew is because everybody kept telling me, you have such faith stories, Pat, you need to write a book. And it was always, you know, one of these days I'll write a book, someday I'll write a book. And my story that I love to tell that made me know that I needed to write a book and put down, you know, my experiences, my ex-husband was out of work and we had four children under the age of 10. So it was very difficult. We were on welfare and food stamps. And this one day I was waiting to pick up the children from school and had some time to kill and went to the local boutique. And when I went in, there was a clearance sign in the back of the store. And, of course, I had to go check it out. And I was looking through the clothes and I found this blouse that I absolutely loved. And it was $10. I had $10 in my pocketbook, but that was some milk and bread on the way home. So as I was putting the blouse back, I heard that small, still voice of God say, buy it, and I will provide. And I remember standing there and saying, is that you, God, or is that me? And I decided to buy the blouse, and I bought the blouse, and I picked up the children from school and went right home and, you know, didn't say anything to anybody. And when I went in the house, I grabbed the mail, and there was a note, and it just had Pat on it, and I wondered, what could this be? I opened it up, and there was a card, and in it was a card that said, to Pat, from the son of a carpenter, and there was a $10 bill in it.
That's pretty great. That's amazing.
That's amazing. So, you know, the timing of it was just, when I tell that story, people just, like, look at me, and they get the chills. They tell me they can't even believe it, and that was 25 years ago, so I never found out who sent it to me. It was obviously somebody who listened to that small, still voice, and you know, the timing was just incredible. It was incredible. So that story, I knew in my heart that God wanted me to write a book. But I had four children that were small, and, you know, I didn't do anything about it. I started to write my book, it'll be 8 years ago now, but I kept putting it down because I kept saying to myself, I'm wasting my time. Nobody will read this. You're not a writer. You don't know. I really wasn't a writer. I didn't know how to write. I mean, I could write, but I certainly didn't think I could write a book. So I kept putting it down for a year at a time. And then I would go on a retreat and I would just get that tug at my heart, start writing again. So I did.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I mean, everybody, Pat, really has a story to tell.
Right.
But I don't think they trust themselves enough in order to believe that they have a story to tell.
Exactly.
You know, so trusting yourself to do it. Like I wrote my autobiography. I didn't want to write it.
Yes.
But it's like my angels wouldn't leave me alone.
Right.
Not day and night until I said, all right, already, I'll do it.
But see,
to me, I was just like you. Who'd want to read this book? But, you know, my book turned out to be like a self-help book for people is what I've been told.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's reasons. And I think it's real important that people listen to that inner voice that they're having because it really does come from the right place. I know you question it, you know, whether to spend $10 for the blouse or get, you know, bread and milk. But the true sense of belief is that it is provided for you.
Right.
Okay. You still have to do kind of your part somewhere down the line here, but it is there to help you.
I didn't realize, Nancy, how much I was filled with fear. And there were times when I was writing the book that I would go to bed hysterical and saying, at one point I said to God, you've chosen the wrong. And I was almost, I had hired a coach, so I was well along the way. And I went to bed and I just had this fear. And I said to God, you've chosen the wrong person. I'm not doing it. And I went to work that day. I was drained. And I went into the conference room to clean it up, and there was a book in there, a magazine, People's Magazine, which I never look at. So I was picking it up to throw it away, and I just happened to open it up. And in bold letters, it was, I have a plan that will make all of your dreams come true. And I knew that was God speaking to me. And I went back to my office, and I put my head down, and I just started to cry. And I said, okay, you know, I'll do it. So then I continued my writing again.
Yeah, they make it kind of known that you've got to do it whether you want to give up or not.
Right. And, you know, I am just so, I'm so grateful that God pursued me and I said yes, because the lives that my book are touching now, I'm just totally amazed. You know, I've sold 800 books on my own just through word of mouth, because I self-published, and my intention is to have a big publisher pick it up. I would really like Hay House to pick it up. But, you know, the people that are coming up to me and telling me how the book has changed their lives and they couldn't put it down and they loved it. And I'm still, you know, I'm still in awe, and I still get so excited when somebody tells me. I was talking to a woman today who was, I think she's 89 years old, and she's reading my book now, and she said, Pat, I have not read a book like this in years. She said, I read it a chapter at a time because I want to treasure it. I don't want to finish it. And I was so excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's real important. And things will probably go on like that. Now, why don't you tell the listeners how to get your book?
Okay. You can get my book through my webpage, which is, excuse me, simplyawomanoffaith.com. simplyawomanoffaith.com. My book is also available on amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com.
Okay, good. Now, because I read your book, it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I noticed about your book is that it's very easy to read. It's not really hard to understand at all.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stories in here, you know, that you went through are really, some of them are kind of funny, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very good, okay? You know, and I would think when most people, you know, look at a book and they go, what's this all about? And they start to read it, the chuckles that they're going to get by reading it is going to be, you know, even part of the blessings that the book is going to give. But, you know, your chapters talk about different things. Like you talk about the yard sales and you talk about some of those things. So without giving your whole book away, can you, like, you know, tell just a couple of the stories that you have in there, because they really are pretty good.
I like the one that about the woman in Newport. I had just finished my master's degree, and that was huge for me going back to school, because, again, I was so afraid, but I did it. And I was just so full of love and gratitude, and I wanted to share that love with somebody, and I went away for the weekend by myself just to celebrate. And I had asked God and the angels to lead me to somebody who really needed to feel God's love. So the weekend went on, and I was open. Nothing was coming to me. There was nobody, you know, coming in my path. So I was about to leave, and I drove out to the ocean one last time out to the ocean. And as I was driving, I heard that small, still voice of God say, pull over here. And I did. And I got out of my car and I walked over to the ocean, and there was people all around, children playing and families. And I noticed a woman sitting right at the edge of the rocks. And as I looked over, I knew that was the woman that God wanted me to speak to. And I got frightened at that point, and I said, maybe this is all me, God. Maybe you really don't want me to talk to her. But I knew in my heart, I was propelled. I had to go. So I walked over to her, and I said hello, and I introduced myself, and I got it out real quick, and I said, God wants you to know that he really loves you. And she just looked at me. Her face went white, and she started to sob. And, I didn't know what was going on, and I just stood there quietly and prayed for her. She finally calmed down, and she looked up at me, and she said, I wanted to die. I wanted to commit suicide when you came over. So that was like, wow. And we sat there and we talked, and she told me her story, and her husband had just left her for another woman, and she was so distraught that she had taken some time off of work, and then her boss fired her. So she felt like there was just nothing to live for, and she wanted to die. And she so needed to hear those words. They came at the perfect time. And I kept in contact with her for a few years, and she went back to school and got another job and went on with her life. Yeah, so that's one of the stories in the book that, you know, I really love to tell.
The one about Bermuda, because you'd never gone anyplace by yourself.
Right.
That one was kind of a neat one, too. Why don't you talk a little bit about that one?
Okay. I had wanted to go away to Bermuda. I had wanted to go on a vacation by myself, and I just needed to do that for myself. And I remember going to the travel agency and asking, is there a place that is safe for women to go? And they said Bermuda. And I had been to Bermuda when I was like 17 years old. This was like 25 years later. So I went home and I said to my ex-husband, I want to go on a vacation. He said, oh. And I said, alone. He said, oh, really? I said, yeah, I really need to do that for me. So he said, well, where's the money going to come from? And I said, well, I'm going to pray it in. If God wants me to go, the money will come in, and if not, it won't. So I had a fur coat in my closet that I put in the newspaper, and somebody came, and it fit perfectly, and that was $50. So that was my first $50 toward Bermuda. And then I got this thing in the mail that you could change your telephone carrier, and you would get $50. So I did that. So I said, well, this is great, God. I'm on my way. I have $100. Now, Bermuda was a lot more than $100. But a week later, I was taking a walk, and my neighbor was coming the other way, and we started to talk. And she said, Pat, do you know of anybody who could help me take care of my mother? She's just coming home from the hospital, and I just need someone to come in at night from 5 to 7 and, you know, give her dinner. It'll be all prepared, and just sit with her until she goes to bed. And I would need somebody 3 days a week, and I'll give them $10 an hour. And I said, I'm your person. So within, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks, I had all the money to go to Bermuda. So that opened the door for my trip to Bermuda. And I'm glad you brought Bermuda up, because there's several stories in Bermuda, so I'm not sure that's the one you wanted me to tell. But I had gone to Bermuda 4 years ago, and again, I was in the process of not writing my book, and God put it on my heart to write again. And while I was there, I had what I call it the divine idea of doing a women's retreat in Bermuda. But I said, well, I don't know how that would happen, God, because I don't know anybody in Bermuda to do a retreat. Well, 2 years ago, I went to Bermuda on vacation, and I had called before I went and called a bookstore and asked if I could do a workshop there. And she said, well, the bookstore is small, but we belong to a church, and would you like to come to speak to the church? Her husband was the pastor. Mm-hmm. And I said, great. So I went to the church and sold like 20 books. And while I was there, I met a woman who was the director of the substance abuse program for women down there. So I told her that I would love to do a retreat. She said, well, maybe that could happen. So that was 2 years ago. And so over the past 2 years, I've been praying about it and seeing it, you know, in my mind that I was going to give a retreat in Bermuda. And I've been emailing her every few months. I'll just, you know, write to her. And she emailed me last week, and she said, we would like you to come and do a retreat in Bermuda in May. So now that's 4 years ago that the idea was planted. So, you know, what I say to people is sometimes God answers prayer immediately, like my blouse story, and other times you have to wait. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited that I'm going to be, you know, going there again this May to do a retreat.
Well, why don't you tell us about that? Tell people how they can be part of it.
To be part of that retreat?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's going to be a retreat. I'm finding out all the details. That's going to be open for everybody, or it's going to be just for the treatment center. I don't know that yet.
Okay. If you have other retreats there, or is this the first one you're going to have?
This is the first one.
Okay.
But I do retreats. I live in Rhode Island, and I do retreats in Rhode Island. And I'm also, you know, I've done them in Connecticut, Massachusetts. And my dream and my intention is to you know, give retreats all over. So if there's anybody out there that would like me to do a retreat, I'd be, you know, it would be wonderful to contact me on my website or my email.
Why don't you give both of those out again?
Okay, my website is www.simplyawomanoffaith. And my email address, it's a long one, it's womanoffaith, W-O-M-A-N, of faith, at bluebottle, just how it sounds, bluebottle.com.
Okay.
But if they went on my webpage, you know, all that information would be there also.
Okay, and it's a simplywomanoffaith.com. So that
correct.
Everybody knows
simplywomanoffaith.com, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there was another part when you were talking about Bermuda that you got really upset and you decided that you were going to yell. So, and the reason why I'm bringing that up, Pat, is because there isn't a breathing person alive
right.
who has not gone through that.
Right.
And, you know, so I think it's important that you bring that up
okay.
and then maybe explain it, okay?
Okay, sure, yeah. I had was going through a very difficult time in my life and working on some abuse issues. And this one particular time, this wasn't the first time that I went to Bermuda, but another time that I went away to Bermuda just to be with God because it were very difficult things that I was dealing with. And so when I went to Bermuda, I was expecting nice sunshine and a beautiful weather and just to rest. Well, I get off the plane and it was pouring rain. And I thought, well, that's okay. It'll go away. And then I heard the weather report that a storm had come in from where I was living. I said, well, that's great. Anyway, it rained for several days, and it cleared up. And I decided to take moped, and I took my moped out, and I went to this little restaurant. And when I came out of the restaurant, it was pouring rain, and here I was in another country on a bike, not knowing anybody. So as I was driving back to my place in the pouring rain, and it was pellets of ice that was coming down, I was terrified. Cars were going by me, and the water was coming up, and I was crying because I was so scared. And I had finally gotten to a place where there was a little bus station where you could have a little bit of shelter. And I got to that place, and I threw my bike down, and I screamed at God, and I said, F you, God. And I had never, ever spoke to God like that. But I had so much anger inside of me that I had pushed down for so many years, and I thought I was going to Bermuda to rest, and what happened was God brought me to Bermuda to really help me to release that anger, and it took being in an ice storm on a bike for me to really let go of that anger. And after I did that, I was, of course, wiped. I was drained, and it had stopped raining some, and I was able to get back to my place, and I took a hot bath. And the next morning when I woke up, I felt so different, just such a release and a relief. And I remember going out, and the sun was shining, this was the first day that the sun really shone, and I just felt lighter. It was really the beginning of releasing so much anger that I had pushed down from my childhood that I wasn't able to release. So that's what happened in Bermuda.
Bermuda means a lot for you, huh?
It really does. It really does. It's like my sacred place.
Everybody
yeah.
needs one of those. Everybody.
Yeah.
Now, also in your book, we're going to talk more about your book now. It's called Simply a Woman of Faith. And there's a part in your book that talks about what prayer is for you.
Hmm.
And you have a list of things. Can you go over that list of things that you put in your book?
Okay, now I don't have the book right here in front of me, but I can get it. I know that prayer is listening. Well, I think of prayer and meditation. Prayer is talking, and meditation is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And let me get my my little book here because I don't remember what I wrote. Prayer is very important. I know that. I just did a workshop yesterday, and we talked quite a bit about prayer. And prayer is really the glue that holds my life together. I've had a spiritual practice for 35 years now, and people will often say to me, you know, how do you know it's God speaking to you? And I know it's because of my prayer. It's because that I show up every day and you know, I pray every day. I plug into the power. And, you know, that's how I know. Okay, so I'm finding my chapter here on prayer.
It's on page 56.
Oh, good. Thank you. good. Okay.
Okay.
It's 56, you said?
Yeah, page 56. And it, you know, and there's like a build up to that, but you know, you talk about, because I think Pat, everybody looks at prayer with a different meaning or understanding for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You covered a lot of the stuff, you know, because, and I agree with you, prayer is talking, meditation is listening, but they almost go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so I found the page, Nancy. Now I have to get my glasses.
You didn't think I was going to pick on you like this, did you?
That's okay. I prayed before I called, before you called me.
Good.
Okay, so what I have here is, okay, prayer is reflection. Prayer is asking, interceding for others, giving praise and thanks, expressing thoughts and emotions, obeying, seeking forgiveness for yourself and forgiving others. Prayer is comforting. Prayer is healing. Prayer is letting go of problems and worries. Prayer is seeking God's will and guidance.
Okay, now, most of those things, people are going to go, well, I've tried those, but they just don't quite seem to work. And it's not that they don't work, because, you know, you said a little bit earlier that, you know, he does listen,
mm-hmm.
but it may not be at our time frame. Like, right. You know, everybody wants that quick fix here.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the way it works a lot of times.
Right.
Okay. The other part that you have that is just before that, you talk about how there's an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. If I wake up some mornings and I just may not want to get up, or something may have happened the day before and I'm just kind of thinking about it, when I get into gratitude and it shifts things for me, gratitude, I think, is the answer. We need to focus on what we do have rather than what we don't have. And oftentimes we look at all the things that we want and that we're not happy with. And if we can just focus on the good that's in our life, the more we focus on what we when we focus on the good, more good will come into our lives. Gratitude is something that I'm a very grateful person. And sometimes, like I said, if I'm bothered by something or I'm feeling anxious, I will just sit and I have a gratitude journal, and I'll just sit maybe write 10, 15 times, and it will shift my mood.
Mm-hmm. Also in your book, you do have like little pages that people can write their own comments on, which is also very good, because I think when people are reading a book like this, it's important that they actually get to put in their feeling part too.
Right, right. People say they really love that. You know, people have told me that, you know, they'll read a chapter and then, you know, it spurs them on, because then I have the journal page that they can go in and write what has happened to them, you know, what they related to in the chapter.
Now, the page just before, the one that we were looking at before,
mm-hmm.
you have on page 55, it says, reasons why you don't plug into the power
right.
and ask for help. Let's go over that a little bit,
okay.
because, you know, when I read those, they seem, I mean, I plug in pretty well, but when I talk to a lot of people, that's some of their exact reasons why they don't think that they can plug in or why it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so I have reasons why you don't plug into the power and ask for help. And the question is, do you think you should do it on your own? and you're not supposed to ask. And then I have the underneath it, I said, I should know what to do. God's not interested in the daily events of my life. I don't want to bother him for the small things. I gave a workshop yesterday, and one of the women said that she has such a hard time asking. You know, she was trained in her religion not to ask. It was wrong to ask, so she's really trying now to ask. And when people read my book, they'll tell me that they'll say to God, well, you know, Pat asked for that. I can ask for it now. So it's helping them to see that, you know, God wants us to ask. He wants to pour out his blessings. And so we are supposed to ask. And once we start asking, I ask for everything. I mean, I ask for parking spots. I have this constant dialogue, I think, with God. I'm always talking to him and asking for help. And you know, when I see it happen, I give him the praise, because I know that God has helped me and he wants to help me. So the next question I have on here is, does pride keep you from plugging into the power and asking for help? And then underneath I have, thank you very much, but I can handle this by myself. I don't need help. And I grew up with kind of a belief system, I guess, that I should know how to do things. And I can remember starting jobs and beating up on myself because I didn't know how to do things. And then when I looked at it, I thought, how would I know how to do something if I've never been trained? But the belief is that I should know how to do everything. And, you know, that's ridiculous. So another question I have here on why people don't plug into the power is it fear? You know, what will be asked of me if I pray? Another question is, do you feel unworthy, ashamed, or undeserving? And then underneath it I have, which are my words underneath it, I don't deserve to ask for help. God has more important things to do than to listen to me. And then the last question is, are you unable to forgive yourself for past failures and mistakes? God won't forgive me for my past, so I can't ask for anything. And there's one more. Are you angry at God for something that happened in the past? Losing a loved one, a divorce, abusive childhood, or losing a job?
See, those last three, Pat,
mm-hmm.
I think many, many people go through.
Yes.
You know, and those last three are real important for them to understand that it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you know, there are parts of your book that really will hit home for every single person who would, you know, decide to pick up and read it. And it's actually quite good. There's another part of your book that I found really interesting, and you talked about the benefits of prayer
mm-hmm.
and what it can do for you.
Okay. What page is that?
That's
now?
On page 60.
Okay. You know what? This is, here we go. Some benefits. Okay. Without prayer, you only see the visible. With prayer, God shows you the hidden aspects of life. Prayer quiets your fears and calms your nerves. Prayer allows you to let go of burdens and give them to God. Prayer upholds others who are in need. Prayer can provide an experience of love, joy, hope, peace of mind, and healing. Prayer can help you grow in self-confidence and trust. Prayer opens your heart to others and you become less judgmental. Prayer provides guidance for making daily decisions and solving problems.
And all of those things, again, are very important that people, you know, understand it's okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's okay, and it works if you just use it.
And, you know, while I was writing my book, I would put it down because I didn't know how. I wasn't a marketing person. I wasn't a business person. So I kept putting it down because I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, what God showed me in prayer was, when I show up, he shows up, and the house shows up in the perfect time. And what's happened is, since I've, you know, I said yes, and only by the grace of God was able to, you know, move forward and write my book and publish it, the how is showing up now. It didn't show up 3 years ago, 4 years ago, because I didn't need it to show up. So when we walk in faith and we show up, plug in every day, the how will come at the perfect time. And now I'm just amazed at the teachers that are coming to help me, the doors that are opening, how to market. I didn't know anything about, you know, marketing or networking, or and doors are just opening for me, you know, because I stepped out in faith. And after I stepped out in faith, I left my job of 20 years in October, and I had prayed about it for a year, if this was God's will for me, and I knew in my heart it was. But after I stepped out and after I gave my notice, and I had what I call a fear attack, and I remember one of my sons saying to me, "Mom, this is the worst time that you could have, you know, left your job with the economy." And I said, "I know it's the worst time, but that's what, you know, God wanted me to do." But after I actually, you know, gave my notice, as I said, I had this fear attack, and I was like, "Oh my God, what did I do?" I left a government job, a very good paying job, to step out in faith and follow God. And I remember this one night when I was having all this fear, and I was crying and I was trying to breathe through it. And one of my sons called. He lives out of state. And I had the choice at that moment to be honest with him and tell him what was going on, or to say everything was fine. And I chose to tell him that I was really struggling and I was really feeling afraid. And what he listened, and he just loved me. And what he said to me was, he said, "Mom, remember what God has done for you in the past. Remember that $10 bill." And I said, "You know, you're right." And that's what, you know, I'm telling people now when they come to me and they say, "You know, I'm really afraid of what's going on. I'm afraid my husband's going to lose his job." And, you know, I share a lot what I went through, but what's really sticking out is remember. Remember all the things that God has done in your life, and that's going to help you to come into the present moment where God is. So I don't know how I got there, Nancy. I just
That's okay. You know, the thing is, a lot of people right now really are truly, truly living in fear, and not just fear of losing their job, just fear of being able to live.
Right.
You know, and the earth itself is going through its own little phases, and it has to complete the phases. And everything is kind of being unearthed a little bit, and a lot of things that maybe we've not seen in our lifetime before, we're probably going to get to see.
Yes.
You know, but it's all done for a purpose. It's like it's not there to destroy us and all that. There's a purpose to it, and we may not understand that purpose right now. You know, but it's real important that people start trusting again, because without that trust,
right,
life's going to be really, really hard.
And you know what I see happening is, you know, when there's a storm, or like I think about a huge snowstorm, like people come out of their houses and they're helping one another, and you may meet a neighbor that you had never met. When there's a disaster, any kind of disasters, people, you know, you read about it, people are helping one another. And I see that happening now, that people are really caring about one another and connecting. And we're going to see a love that maybe we haven't seen in our lifetime. Because of the trauma, because of what's going on, the collective consciousness of fear, really. But I see it as an opportunity for us light workers to really share God's love, and that God is with us and going to take care of us.
Yeah, and I do agree with that, you know, but it's people really, they're having this hard, hard time because they look around and then they
right.
watch the television and they listen to the news, and I keep telling people, turn it off.
I do too.
You know, turn it off. All they're doing is they want you to stay in fear. They want you to not be secure here, so turn it off. Stop
right.
listening. You know, turn back inward, trust yourself,
right.
trust that, trust your heart, trust what you really know inside.
Exactly.
But people have gotten so used to, you know, being in that fear state that
mm-hmm.
they don't, you know, and it's not that I don't think they want to get out of it. I think that they are either afraid they can't get out of it, or
right.
they don't know how to get out
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
You know, and it's real important that they get out of the fear. That is one of the biggest things that they're going to have to learn during this time right now is to get out of the fear.
Mm-hmm. And I think if they make a commitment to take 5 minutes a day, that's how I started my spiritual practice 35 years ago. I took 5 minutes a day. And I just like any relationship to grow, you need to spend time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So taking 5 minutes and just, you know, being quiet, breathing and connecting with that power within, whatever you call that power, God, universe, whatever you call it, doesn't matter. But just connecting with yourself and being in the present moment. Because in the present moment is when we're going to have peace. It's not when we're in the future or the past. You know, but taking that quiet time, I recommend journaling.
Mm-hmm.
I've been journaling for years and just writing, you know, just writing what's going on and asking for help. And when people tell me that they do that, they feel so much better. So I think people are going to be open to doing that because where else can you go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with when you're so afraid, we often turn to God. And I think we're going to see that kind of a renewal in the world.
I think it's pretty important, really. I think it's long overdue, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you also do something else, because there's a chapter of yours that, I found pretty interesting. It's called Dancing with God.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain that just a little bit, you know, where that came from and why you do it?
Well, I love to dance, and I dance in my living room, and how that came about was I went on a retreat, and on the Friday night of the retreat leader said, if you have any gifts that you would like to share with the other women, I really encourage you to share the gifts. And, you know, some of the women, they did poetry and they sang. And I sat there that night and I said, you know what, God, I don't have any gifts to share. And I heard this little voice say, you can dance. And I said, God, I only dance with you in my living room, you know. And so I knew that I needed to obey, and I said to the retreat leader, well, I dance. And she said, well, what kind of dance do you do? And I said, well, I dance in the living room with God. So she didn't say anything the whole weekend, which I was, you know, very relieved. And on Sunday morning she came to me and said, Pat, I would like you to dance for the closing ceremony. And it was like, oh, I don't have anything to wear. I don't have a song. So I said, let me go to my room and pray. So I did. I went to the room, and I knew that God wanted me to dance. Now, I had never danced in front of anybody. You know, I mean, socially I danced, but never done that kind of dancing that I would do in my living room. And I did the dance. It was on the beach, and the women encircled me. And it was so powerful. I felt so connected to the heavens. I felt so connected to God. And after the dance, many women came up to me and said that they cried watching me dance, and they hadn't cried the whole weekend, and how it touched them. So after the retreat, I said to the retreat leader, if you ever, you know, find a, if I would love to do a retreat, and I had never done a retreat either. I said, just let me know, and because I said, well, now that I have this gift to dance, where am I going to use it? So about a month later, she called me, and she said, Pat, I was supposed to do a retreat, and I can't do it. Would you like to do it? And I didn't even think about it. I said, yes. And a friend of mine and I gave a retreat in New Hampshire, and on the retreat, we dance on Saturday night, and that was the beginning of my giving retreats. That was about 10 years ago. So dancing with God is just, it was just kind of, you know, I dance in my living room, and I teach other women how to dance too.
Well, I think music is pretty important anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has a lot. It has a lot of good energy that goes, you know, into you, and then helps your body to have a good energy coming back out.
Right. And so many women say that they can't dance. No, on my retreats on Saturday night, we play, and I bring dress-up clothes. You know, I've been picking up things at yard sales, dresses and hats. I have like 25 different hats. So we get dressed up on Saturday night, and we play, and we dance. And the women really let their hair down, but in the beginning, you can see how anxious they are. You know, they're afraid to move their body. They're afraid how they look. But then slowly they come into it, and you just see the freedom that they come into. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Do you think that men have a harder time being as one with God than women do?
That's interesting. I think women are more open. Although, you know, when I worked as an alcohol and drug therapist, I worked with all men. I had a few female patients, but they were mostly all men, and they were open, but not the way women are.
Do you think it's because the way society has kind of taught those things, or what people have gotten used to, you know, generation after generation?
I do. And, you know, I think that, you know, the message for men is, you know, you have to be strong and you have to have all the answers. So they've relied on their own self, if you will, and have missed the boat in a lot of ways. A lot of the men who I worked with read my book, and they said they loved it. It helped them with their spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing.
Well, I think it's important that men get in touch with their feminine side, because, you know, they've been kind of like left that dormant for so long, or told you can't do that, you can't do that. You know,
right.
People think you're weird or strange. You know, and I think that part of our growing right now is also part of that's going to be awakening in men,
mm-hmm.
and they're just going to have to kind of relax and go with it at this
right.
point. Okay, because it's not going to hurt them for sure.
No, it's going to help them. It's really going to help them. Yeah,
big time. Now, there's one last chapter, I'm going to ask you about, because
mm-hmm.
we still have some time, but I want you to give out your website and all that stuff again. So why don't you give that out first, and then we'll go into another chapter.
Okay. My website is www.simplyawomanoffaith.com, and my email address is woman@bluebottle, just how it sounds, bluebottle.com.
Okay, good. Now, the one chapter I thought was really kind of fun
mm-hmm.
and hard for most people. It's the one that is called Passion and Fire, Move Me Forward, and then it says how to be successful with your dream and reality. So a lot of times people have dreams,
mm-hmm.
but they don't see it come into reality. And why do you think that happens?
I think people give up. I think that they have a dream and they give up on it too early. They don't believe it can happen. I could have easily aborted my dream of writing a book, and I did. They don't persevere. And I think they don't believe in themselves, like we had talked earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe it can happen. And, you know, what I've learned is that we need to see it on the inside before it happens on the outside. You know, when I was writing my book, when I kept saying I'm not a writer, nobody's going to read it, well, that's what I was producing. When I changed my thinking on the inside and said, I am a writer, I can do this, and one of the things that I did was I did an intention book, and, you know, lots of people have heard about The Secret and the vision board. Well, I have a small little album, and I have all my dreams and my intentions in that, and each day I take it to prayer, so I see it visually. The pictures are really prayers, and what moved me through to actually finish my book was having that intention book, seeing myself as a writer, seeing myself giving speeches. So that was really important for me, to see it on the inside before it can happen on the outside.
Mm-hmm. That's the part I think people have a hard time with. Not having a hard time seeing it on the inside, but really believing that they can see it on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because so many times, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, this is what I really want. And there's a part that they may think that's what they really want, but I think it doesn't really come into reality because I'm not so sure that that's truly what your soul really does want.
Mm-hmm. So being clear on what it is that you really want.
Yeah, I think it's pretty important because, again, you know, people have a lot of wants and desires in their head,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they think that they're coming from their heart, but I'm not so sure that that's the case, you know, because most people are very logical in their head,
mm-hmm.
which I try to get people to understand that they need to use their heart smart part because
mm-hmm.
it works much better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the reasons why people are not seeing what their true heart's desire is, because logically, again, you know, we are told you're supposed to have a house, you're supposed to have a car, you're supposed to have 2.5 children and a white picket fence. And that may not be somebody's heart's desire, but yet that's what they've been told. And so that's what they think they're supposed to do, but they really don't want it.
Right. So that's why it's so important to really, like we're saying, is to take that time alone each day to really go in and see what is it that I really want? What is going to make my heart sing? Not what other people tell me that I should be,
mm-hmm.
but what's going to make me happy? And the only way that we're going to know is to take that time to be with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. People don't want to do that.
mm-hmm.
When I do my counseling, that's one of the things I tell them. You really got to look in that mirror, kind of like yourself, love yourself. You know, you're really not a bad person here. You got to start accepting that. But, again, people are kind of having a hard time with that. I believe it's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was worse before, but I do believe it's getting better. And then you talk about soulmate in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody says, oh, am I ever going to meet my soulmate? Can you explain that just a little bit to the people who are listening, please?
How am I going to meet my soulmate, or just how I see it?
How you see it.
I see it. Okay. Well, I've been praying for my soulmate for a few years now, and I know in my heart that he's here. And I envision him. I see us walking down the aisle. I thank God for him before he's even here. In fact, I did something tonight for the first time. I live alone, and I set a table, a plate, and a knife and fork for my soulmate because I believe that he's here, and I envision it. And I know that we're connected with an invisible string, and God is going to bring him into my life. Now, I don't sit home in my house and say, well, God's going to knock on the door. I'm very active in my life, but it's going to be divinely led.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. A lot of people sit there and they ask, but they don't really do their part in order to achieve.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's real important. If they really want it, they have to do their part.
And the other piece that is so important is to not just say, you know, my soulmate is coming, but to really get into that feeling place. We need to really feel what it's going to feel like when it happens. And that's really where I'm at. Like, I just feel so excited. And I know that, like a magnet, we're going to be magnetized to one another, you know. And I'm very fulfilled and happy in my life right now. I don't feel needy, like I have to have somebody. I'm very fulfilled, but I want to have a relationship, and I'm excited about it, and I feel excited, as
good.
You can hear in my voice.
Yes, no, that's a good way. Now, on your website,
mm-hmm.
Pat, they can find out about your workshops and everything?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And it doesn't matter where they come from, but they're going to come to your area.
Right. Right, or I can come, you know,
if somebody
would like to invite me. Right, on my website, I have a monthly inspirational newsletter that I would be glad to. If you know, if they come in, they can just put their name, and it's a really great newsletter, and that's free.
Okay, now give out your website and your email address again, please.
Okay, it's www.simplyawomanoffaith.com. And my email address is woman, W-O-M-A-N, of faith, at bluebottle.com.
Okay. Is there anything before we have to go off air that you would like to tell the listeners, maybe to help them get through some of the stuff that's going to be coming now?
just keep trusting. Trusting in God. Don't give up. Persevere. Just keep trusting and remembering what God has done in the past.
Do you think that you're going to go back and work with any of the substance abuse disorders?
I don't know. I'm open.
Yeah, because there's something that I'm getting for you that, you know, with the messages that you have,
mm-hmm.
it will actually help out a lot of them still.
Yeah, I'm praying about that. I'm praying. In fact, I'm meeting with somebody tomorrow who is feeling led to work with children of who have alcohol and drug problems. So I'm praying that that might be an area where God may want me to, you know, move into.
That'd be pretty cool. That's like my 501c3 that I have called Child's Miracle Mind.
Uh-huh.
But it's to help children who are not fitting into the 20% or the bell curve and, you know, either labeled with ADD, ADHD, which
mm-hmm.
I don't think they should be drugging them like they do,
right.
You know, and things like that. And opening actually a school, Pat, for children who are, you know, for all children, but especially the ones that are not fitting into what we call the bell curve, because they're not getting a fair shake here, and I have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's when you talk about children, man, that's my topic.
I just went to, recently I did a talk at a college, and the students loved it. They loved, I talked about, you know, the intention book and about seeing our dreams, and they were, like, so hungry. They didn't
they
know
are.
Anything about it.
Even the young ones, I mean, they're just so, so very hungry. I mean, like, I have a granddaughter who's 8 years old, and her favorite series right now is Charmed. Now, Charmed is about witches, but, you know, it has a lot of spirituality in it,
uh-huh.
a lot of metaphysical things in it. And it's like all of a sudden I'm hearing all these little girls are all attached to this charm. Now, I never watched it.
Right.
It's old. I mean, these are all reruns, but it's fun to listen to how it's coming back, and these children here now, it's like, man, I got to get home to see this show.
Really?
But it's helping them to understand a lot of the different energies that are now here versus when I was growing up, people didn't let you talk about it. So
right.
it's kind of neat.
Right. There's a wonderful things going on.
Oh,
I'm excited to be a part of it.
Me too, and I want to keep on going. So, Pat, one more time before we go off air, because we're just about done.
Okay.
Your website and your email address.
Okay, my website is www.simplyawomanoffaith.com, and my email address is womanoffaith@bluebottle.com.
And they can get your book.
They can get my book through my website.
Okay.
Or on Amazon.com.
And the name of it again?
Oh, yeah, Simply a Woman of Faith.
Which is kind of cool. It's got a nice cover to it, too. Pat, you've been very, very fun being on the show. You know, we'll have to do some more talking, and maybe we'll figure out something we can do together when it comes to the kids.
Okay, Nancy. We'll see what Spirit has in mind.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, so it should be kind of fun. Well, Pat, thanks for being on the show. You've been a great guest. I'm sure
it
helped a lot of people.
Thank you, Nancy. I've loved it.
And we'll get you, like I said, a copy of this. You know, I just have to get it myself, okay?
Okay, great. Good. Okay.
I will talk to you so I can tell you how to get it, okay?
Okay, thanks, Nancy. Should I stay on or just you call me back?
I will call you back.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'd like to thank you, the listeners. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, check our book out. It's pretty interesting. And I hope that if you are all watching the Super Bowl instead of listening to the show, that you had a very good time. But remember, you can still listen to the show anyway. So may God bless all of you. Have a great week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.